This is Everything is Workable, a series of podcasts and blog posts that examine how every experience, every situation, every moment is an opportunity to work with our mind. My name is Caitlin Hatch, and I'm a creative polymath, which is a nice short way of saying I'm a designer, artist, animator, and published author. My purpose in life is to inspire curiosity, to inspire people to let go of the limited ideas that they have about themselves and their experience. Through the posts and podcasts of Everything is Workable, I hope to share some insight into what this means and give you some ideas of how to make your world so much bigger. I'll have various different guests to share their stories, as well as sharing my own, all with the aim of seeing everything as workable, even the most uncomfortable situations. Today, I'm going to talk about responding to a situation versus seeking an answer to a situation. To really get at the difference between what it means to respond versus what it means to find an answer, we really need to see how we spend a lot of time trying to find answers because we feel like life or our experiences are problems that need to be solved. So, to really get an image of what I'm going to talk about, we need to recognize the fact that a lot of us, most of us, all of us, unless you're enlightened really, spend a lot of time feeling like the difficult situations that come up in our lives, be that, you know, conflict with a manager or a coworker, conflict with a spouse or with our children, whatever it may be, we feel like these are problems that need to be fixed. And by fixed, I don't mean healed. I don't mean fixed because you can heal things. Like healing and fixing, very different. So I don't mean that there isn't a solution. I mean we think that we can bring our life to some sort of perfect equilibrium. Some perfect standstill where we're not going to ever feel bad again. But all of this has some sort of idea that life should be fair. Now, I realize this is a cliche, and I know it's also one of those obnoxious things we've all heard our parents say countless times. Life isn't fair. But to flip that on its head, life isn't unfair either. Life is life. Life just happens. Life isn't out to get us, and our experiences aren't out to get us. We are not bad if we experience things that are painful or difficult or challenging. These aren't punishments that we're being doled out because we're bad people, any more than we are good and virtuous people when really wonderful things happen to us. Life doesn't work that way. It isn't about being definitively one way or another, and cause and effect isn't so black and white as if I am a good person, whatever that means, then only good things should or will happen to me. We are neither good nor bad. We're human. And life is life. Life isn't good nor bad either. So what we're going to experience in our life is going to be very rich, incredibly rich. We're going to go through heartache and we're going to have the most incredible, joyful moments and we're going to have profound realizations and times when we're just really interconnected and blissful and we're going to have times when we feel so contracted that we don't know how we're going to go on in the next moment. That's just the way that life works and that's just how it is to be human. Now, this might sound a little bit bleak, but I would argue that actually it's really liberating because it means that nothing is ever just one way. It means you're not just one way. Elizabeth Mattis Namgal, who's my teacher, talks about this a lot and she talks about it incredibly well, much better than I will. So I do recommend getting her book, The Power of an Open Question, or listening to any of her talks. You can download them for free through iTunes from the Mangala Shri Bodhi link recordings. this idea that life isn't fixable nor fixed. And idea is probably the wrong word, because it isn't an idea. It's the truth, and I'm saying truth with a capital T here. So the truth is that life is unpredictable. It's going to throw anything and everything at you, and not because you did something or didn't do something, just because that's what life does. So when life throws something at us, whatever it may be, say we've just been made redundant, we suddenly don't have a job, perhaps our partner has just told us that they no longer love us and don't want to be in a relationship anymore, or perhaps it's something actually a lot smaller. I don't know, we got on the plane and we were given an aisle seat instead of a window seat. All life has done is presented a situation. And then what we get to do, which is a fantastic thing as a human being, because we have this self-awareness, possibly, some of us more than others, we get to see how we can work with our mind in that situation, if we choose to, and if it's something that we're willing and able to do. So another really important thing with this is not to push yourself and not to try to be any different than you are. You need to meet yourself where you're at when you're working with this idea of responding to life versus trying to fix it or seek an answer or, you know, pin something down. So let's go with this lighter situation, right? Let's say you're stuck in traffic. This is such a great one. I absolutely love this. Annie Pama Chodron uses it all the time, and it's great. And I used it, actually. I used it quite often while I was working at IKEA, and I had a really quick commute in. It was great. I only had to go through one set of traffic lights, and this was something that in the morning, especially when I had an early shift, I'm talking really early, like I had to be there about 7:30, I could do it in 8 minutes. It was brilliant. But there were some times when I had slightly different shift meant that I would hit rush hour, and my 8 minute commute could turn into 15 or 20 minutes of me just sat on a road, completely surrounded by cars, not able to move, able to see ahead that it was totally chock block and not moving, and also knowing exactly where my exit was. I knew where my exit was, and it wasn't going to come up any sooner than it was going to come up. So after listening to Annie talking about, Annie Pema talking about this concept of working with the situation, so responding to a situation that you don't like, that you're really resistant to. So when we're stuck in traffic, this is something that's quite relatable for a lot of people, which is probably why she uses this example and why a lot of other teachers do as well. When you're stuck in traffic, you can start to feel really entitled. I know I'd feel really entitled, especially knowing how quick it could be. I'd be sitting there, I don't have time to be here. I have better things I would rather be doing than stuck in my car, especially on a hot, sunny day. I don't want to be trapped baking in this little metal thing. So you can see how quickly I'm getting stuck into this me, 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 me. So you kind of start to look for answers. You want something different. So you think, oh, how can I make traffic move quicker? How can I get over into that lane so that I can get to my exit faster? Even when you can see that there is no way out, we will still try to find an answer to a problem that we perceive as a problem, an experience we're perceiving as a problem. We're trying to find that answer. So what did I do? Well, after listening to Annie Pama share this, she said, your approach to life is to say you're always in a traffic jam. Life is being in a traffic jam. Sometimes, it's just like driving generally, okay? So it's not necessarily being in the jam, but it's like driving. Sometimes you're going to have clear, straight ahead highways or motorways for those in the UK. It's just going to be clear and straight and nothing to slow you down, and you can just go. And sometimes you're going to be stuck in a traffic jam, and sometimes you'll be stuck in a traffic jam but there's an exit and it's really quick and you know you can take it and it will improve your commute. But sometimes you're stuck in that traffic jam and you know that your exit is far away and there's no other choice. So, taking this approach, you're literally stuck in a traffic jam. You can choose to try and find an answer, or you can just respond to the situation. What do I mean by that? Responding to a situation. Well, first of all, you can notice what's going on with your mind. You can notice the fact that you're trying to find an answer. And for a lot of us, we need to spend quite a few years just noticing that we're looking for answers. We might spend the rest of our life just noticing that we're looking for answers. I'm very aware of the fact that my mind tries to find answers whenever I feel uncomfortable with the emotions that are coming up based on the situation as it's happening. But I'm also very aware that when I notice that seeking an answer, I notice how constricted I feel and how tiny my experience feels, how tiny the world feels. So let's go back to that traffic jam, right? We're sitting there in our car. First, we've just noticed, oh, I'm trying to look for an answer. Okay, so there are no answers. There is no solution that is going to lift your car out of where it is and just drop you magically in front of your house. That's not going to happen. But you can respond to the situation. So, what do I mean by that? What does it mean to respond to a situation? Responding to a situation means stepping away from that small enclosed experience we're having in our head where it's about me, 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 and seeing the fullness of it, seeing everything. You're not the only one stuck in that traffic jam. You're surrounded by other cars full of people, and you can look at them and you can see that they're just getting just as irritated. They're just as aggravated by the situation. They feel just as entitled as you do to be able to get to where they're going faster than it's happening. They're just as shut down to what's going on as you. So that, there's one way you can respond. You look around and you see all these people. Annie Pummel calls this practice just like me. You look around and you go, just like me, all these people here are getting really pissed off. They're really upset. Then you can notice, having seen how you're trying to seek answers, how you're feeling about that. Does it actually make you feel better to get really angry, to feel entitled? I know personally it makes me feel quite gross, actually. I feel bratty and whingy. I also tend to be a lot less gentle with myself. And if I've learned anything, I've learned the essential practice of gentleness. It is so important. I do know that the less gentleness and compassion I have for myself, the more difficult it is for me to work with the challenges that life will just chuck at me. So I notice immediately I have this sort of impatience with myself. I can see my habitual reaction and I'm having none of it. And that's not helpful. So, responding to the situation, it's noticing what's going on, noticing that you're not the only one, and then it's going, well, I know what my habits are. My habit is to get really irritated, to feel really entitled, to feel really arrogant about the situation, like, you know, my time is worth so much more. Why are all these people going home at the same time as me? Why couldn't they just have stayed at home? Why couldn't they have left earlier or later? Whatever it is. So I see all of that, and then I go, okay, what's a better use of my time right now? I'm not getting out of this traffic jam. I'm going to have to wait. Who knows how long I'm going to have to wait. So what can I do? Well, it's a perfect opportunity to practice. There's so many different practices you can do. You can just do some general calm abiding. Notice your breath. Let the thoughts go. Notice your breath. Let the thoughts go. For those of you who are familiar, there's the practice of metta, loving kindness practice, or also called Maitri, depending on what lineage or what you might study or what you've heard of. This isn't about being a Buddhist. The practice of metta is a practice of giving some sort of sense of maybe not giving, actually, that's probably the wrong word. I would say It's more of a way for us to be open to the shared experience that's going on and the fact that everyone around us is just as uncomfortable. So you put a phrase with your breath and you come back to the breath, but you have a phrase, you know, may everyone around me feel calm. May everyone around me feel content. May everyone around me let go of their need to be somewhere. That sort of thing. It's not going to, you know, magically change them. This isn't about sending energy vibes out there or anything. That's woo, and that's silly. What that's doing in your mind is reminding you that you are not the only one, and you're not so special just because you're trapped in traffic. You can also make it into a game. So you respond to life with lightheartedness. Now, I really, really can never emphasize enough how important a good sense of humor is to living life well. And you've got a good sense of humor, even the most difficult of situations have something in them that you can kind of laugh about. It might be a little bit of black comedy, I have to say, but there's something about that approach. It just adds some lightheartedness to things and makes you realize that it's really no big deal. No big deal. Something I tell myself a lot. That's a really good responding thing to have in your toolkit. You've got that thing come up, and you see your brain shutting down, trying to find answers, whatever it is, scrabbling. You look at the situation, kind of step back, notice your mind, see the fullness of the situation, see the fact that there's so many other people involved in it, there's a lot of other wants and needs and things, and then go, you know what though, it's not really that big of a deal. This is not a life and death situation. This is a traffic jam. So let's say I'm gonna stay in this lane and I notice that I've got a Hyundai on one side of me and I've got a Ford on the other side of me. Let's see who gets to their exit first. And you might still have this churning thing going on. Your thoughts are saying, you know, it's still not fair, and oh, I really want to get in that lane because it looks like it's moving fast. But you just turn it into something more lighthearted, something really fun. Oh, let's see who's going to get to their exit first. And whoever does, you know, they win. Fantastic. And I'm going to set the aspiration to actually feel joyful for the fact that they got to their exit before I did. Or if I get to my exit before I do, I'm going to wish them the best luck possible to get to their exit next. Like, you know, may they come in second, may they get their silver medal. So the point that I'm trying to make with all of this is that when we are trying to find an answer, it means we're trying to come up with a single definitive response to what's occurring, with the idea that this single response will fix it. It will make it okay. And what I'm saying is that if we learn how to respond rather than find an answer, we start to see that everything is okay. I don't mean okay as in it's good and it's satisfactory and it's positive and it's safe. Okay means that we can accept the impermanence of our experience and of things as they happen, and we don't equate comfort with happiness. Okay, it's sort of like we just go, you know what? This hurts, and that's okay. This is fantastic, it feels amazing, and that's okay. It means we don't make a big deal of things one way or another, and we don't feel that anything is insurmountable or anything is unfair. It just means we go, this is okay, this is workable, just like anything else. Charlotte Joko Beck has a fantastic section in her book Everyday Zen about it's okay, this idea of it's okay, a concept of it, which goes into much greater depth than I have just now and comes from a lot more practice than I have. So I really, really recommend that. I believe it's on page 108 in the section on suffering. I really, really recommend reading it. She's incredibly pithy. One particular thing I'm just going to read from the book is she does say, whether it is okay with you to live with the circumstances that life brings to you. So that's what it means to be okay, is that you're open to the circumstances that life brings. And that's what it is to respond to life. So you are open to everything and the fullness of a situation. And this does apply to really difficult situations, but please don't take my word for it. You need to go and experiment and try it out for yourself and try with smaller things, because most of us, we can't jump right in with the really, really difficult stuff like being told that we've just been made redundant. But we all have things in our day-to-day life that come up for us where we really feel like we need to find an answer and we need to fix it and there has to be a solution. We all have them. We have waiting in queues, or lines for those in North America. We have tiny little situations, disagreements with friends and family members, things where we want to be right, whatever that means. Start looking at those things. Work with your mind and see how responding, not answering, might make your experience a little bit different, a little bit more open, a little bit more flexible, and just that much easier and more wonderful to experience and to bear. Thank you for listening to Everything is Workable, a Fun Wolf Creations production. If you have a question you'd like to ask, a topic that you'd like me to tackle, or if you'd like to become a contributor, you can get in touch with me through www.vast-skythinking.com by visiting the Everything is Workable blog. Thank you to the very talented Dexter Britton for sharing his music with the world. The music used in this podcast is from his Creative Commons Volume 5 album, available on www.dexterbritton.co.uk.